All right, so let's go ahead and let's just start with just another quick word, so just so I can focus and you guys can too. And we'll just ask the Lord again to be with us, especially me, because I need to settle my mind. Lord, thank you again so much for just your word and how glorious the Romans Road is. I am so thankful for this beautiful book, and I thank you so much for the way that it illuminates our path, Lord. You do say in Psalm 119 that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, and this is that for me and for us. And I just pray that this evening that you would just help your Holy Spirit to communicate to our hearts what it is you want us to learn, so that we can glorify you and walk with you and have stability in our lives, Lord, as we do that. So I pray that you would just go before me now and guard my mouth and have the ears out there be able to hear what the Spirit would hear. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'm not sure how many of you have heard of a man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. So he's my new friend. I'm going to be talking to him when we get to heaven. But Dietrich was a German man who was very, very genius level smart, and he was raised during the time pre-World War II, really about 30 years before. He would have been my grandparents' age. My grandparents were born in 1898, 1899, 1900, 1901. That's the era that my grandparents were born. So Dietrich was so brilliant in his mind, and he had a scientist for a father, and he had a mother who came from, her father was in the ministry, and just ministry was in her life. So Dietrich was going to hear about Jesus. He really and truly was going to hear about Jesus, but he was also going to be extremely smart in the way that he was going to categorize in his mind everything. And really the expectation from that German era, this is pre-Hitler, this is still, you had a Kaiser. Okay, there was order in that society, and it was a happy life. It was, if you picture Sound of Music kind of life, okay, it was just happy. And you think of all the good things that we think of when we think of German culture, and I know that we have still a ways to go because we can demonize groups, and I think that the Germans have been a group, myself included. Ensley is my that part of my family that comes from Germany. And no one really wants to get categorized as being a Nazi, right? But Bonhoeffer truly understood the danger of that mindset. So much so that he eventually, in his writing, he got two doctorates. His first doctorate was, I think, at age 22 or 23. And then, because he wasn't old enough to go into the full-time ministry, he got his second doctorate. I'm going to just sit. By the way, my cold is better. I just need to sit a little bit. I didn't drink enough water. So, plus I just want to chat. So, but I've been reading his biography that's written by Eric Metaxas, if you haven't read it. Now, this is what's cool about, well, everything's cool about the Lord, but just the timing of God, this is what's really neat. So, I'll finish about Dietrich. So, eventually what happens is he's completely sold out for Christ. He wants to be able to communicate the Lord to people. He spends time in different countries doing just that. And he has these experiences of really, while he's working on his doctorate and his mind is going, and he truly is just trying to figure out, like, how do you explain what the church is? And so he goes and does a doctorate about that. And then he works on his next doctorate. And one of the quotes from the book that I wanted to share with you is this idea that God is, how he says it, havable. Which I love that word because it's not really a word, and it's a word that kids can understand. And so I love that I could take that word from this man who was so smart and so brilliant, and I could bring you a word today that you could actually share with your kids and with ourselves. That, in Dietrich's words, God's given word, the covenant in which God is bound by God's own action, he is havable. And I think that that is, it's just a beautiful thought. It's a beautiful process to think of how God works within his church and he works within his people. Eventually, Dietrich was hung. His life was taken. He went to prison because he was part of a plot to bring down Hitler. And that's how important he valued freedom of religious thought. and freedom of religious culture and freedom of religion in and of itself, to give his life for that. And he, in part of his doctorate, he realized people need to understand how Jesus actually came to be a part of us. He actually came into us. He didn't have to do that. And back in that time, theologically, debate as though it was something that we're, you know, we still debate over things in theology. And even just the other day, one of my sweet girls was asking me a question. And my answer first to that question was, you just explained about 8 different denominations in that question, because it was a simple question, but it wasn't. It's a question that the church wrestles, and then boom, all of a sudden there's different denominations simply because of that answer. So it's not just us in our time that we have debate, and it's not just Dietrich Bonhoeffer in his time that there is debate or there's intensity or there's pressure of the day, but you go way back into Paul's day when he was writing the book of Romans, and then the reason why I'm having you also go to Colossians is because we don't know that he had kids and we don't know that he was married, but for someone who didn't have kids and for someone who maybe wasn't married, he sure did have a lot of wisdom in how to have the little kids, the church, behave. Basically, this next section of scripture that you're gonna get into in the book of Romans has a lot to do with, okay, now how do we live? And that's what this next week for you is gonna unfold. How do we actually live? So if you wanna go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, it's just a good reminder to us that we live, or at least we should, because of the grace that we've been given, we are really challenged to live and reign in our hearts under that grace. We've been justified, we've been made righteous. What the book of Romans shows us is that we were sinners, but Christ died for us. When we were ungodly, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So in Romans chapter 3, what Paul says is, through his death, the power of your sinful nature, that sinful nature was shattered in 6 verse 3. In verse 6, this is just a quick run through. In verse chapter 6, he says, we no longer have to be a slave to sin. In verse 9, if you look down, he says, Christ rose from the dead and will never die again. And then Paul says, sin slew me. So if you just go through those couple of chapters, which you did last week, the status of sin slew me, and how that applies to you as a mom in trying to get your family to, you know, kind of get with the program, right? And sometimes it can be disheartening because you can feel like, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. We're going at this again. But remember, we talked about this last week a little bit, but the Apostle Paul was just completely lost and aghast at his own sinful nature. But it is what taught him and what drove him to the cross. And that's what we can't forget. We cannot forget that. We're to reign in grace. A part of reigning in grace means that you apply it to yourself. So on those bad days, you say, I am to reign in grace. I am not any attempts that I've been able to do, not any attempts that I have ever been able to try to do in terms of self-help or making myself better. I need to understand that I'm like Paul, sin slays me sometimes, you know. And I know that there's a saying, slay the day, but you know, I wish we would have a shirt that said, slay the sin, you know? We just, oh my goodness, slay the sin, you know? Our hearts just ache. And teaching your kids right from wrong and which way to go, left or right, can be a challenge. But for us to have that lens on our eyes that can adjust so that our children can understand, mommy loves me no matter what, sin slew me today, you know? Sin slayed me today. Mom, it's not me, it's the sin. It's the sin in me. You know, it's that argument. And believe me, I've had a child that is that smart to figure that out and actually try to barter his way out of a spanking when he was younger. Mom, it's not me, it's the sin. And yes, you're right. We're gonna spank that sin right out of you, you know? You gotta learn. It is that repetition, you know, that of sometimes spanking, but repetition is what the mother of all learning, is what they say. And that's why you repeat over and over and over to your kids. It just is. It's why you repeat and you tell them the good things and you tell them the things that need correction and you repeat it and you repeat it and you rinse and repeat again, you know. And I just love that in the book of Romans, Paul is reaching out to the people and he's trying to let them know, hey, Jews and Gentiles, we're one church. And this is what we need to do. We need to understand we've been completely depraved. And we went through that in week one and week two and talked about, wow, the righteousness of God and just how righteous it is and how just God is. That he's just and he's also the justifier. But where sin abound, grace abounded more, Paul says. And amen. And that's where we get to live as Christians. It's so good. It's almost too much to take in sometimes. So if you want to flip over to Colossians now, we dabbled a little bit in Romans. Now go over to Colossians, and if you could go ahead and turn to chapter 1, verse 15 through 18 is what we're going to read. And it says, actually let's back up to verse 12, just because I love the whole book of Colossians so much. I would actually just like to sit here and read the whole thing, but we won't. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is from the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things, that in all things he might have preeminence. So in this first part of Colossians, what we see is Paul reaching out to the people of Colossae, and he's saying, hey, God is divine. Jesus is God, and God is divine. He's the creator of all things. He's the author of all things. And it's very important for us to know that, because what was happening in that time is something not unlike what we're experiencing now. It was a very pagan culture. And here's Christians that are really dabbling in some things, and they're getting corrected for their behavior. And Paul is having to tell them, hey, I don't want you to be like the people who are being syncretists and they're trying to mix Judaism and they're trying to mix Christianity so that it looks nothing at all like what the gospel looks like. So he was having to correct them on that. And then he was also having to do a little bit of correction because there was this other thing that they were doing called being a Gnostic or a Gnosticism. And that word's used today too, but in that day, the Gnostics really felt like they could improve upon themselves. They didn't have to rely on God for their own salvation. It was themselves. It was basically a self-help program if you were a Gnostic. Oh, I got it on my own, you know. Today we say self-made man or, you know, I did it my way or whatever. It's arrogant. It's philosophy that has nothing to do with the gospel, and Paul was needing to correct the people at that time. So when you look at Colossians in chapter 2, there's the warning. If you go to verse 8 and 9, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So in that word, beware lest any man spoil you, it means to carry off as captive. And then if you go to Colossians 3, verse 15 through 17, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. It is so cool to think about this. You know, Paul, it was a church he was building. It was God's church. It was the church of Jesus that was actually birthed through what Christ did on the cross. And then Paul really was guarding the church. And today when I was preparing and just working through some of the next things that you're going to be studying through next week, this week, whenever you're starting day one. But when we meet again next Tuesday, you will have completed the book of Romans. And I just think that it's just pretty cool to think about, wow, as moms, you know, he was doing for those people what you have to do every single day in your home. Sometimes you're going to have kids that are just being pagans, you know, and you're just going to have to correct that and say, no, I'm giving you a warning. That's an error. We actually are not supposed to live our lives that way. And look, you just got a couple scriptures tonight that talk about that. We're not to be carried off by vain philosophy and false doctrine, and we're to be aware of that as a church, but as parents for sure. It's really, really important that we not lose sight of that and also be willing to take a stand for that. And I think it's pretty encouraging to see the Apostle Paul really write all that out in the book of Romans. So then, at that last section that I shared with you in chapter 3, verse 15 through 17, when you get to verse 16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." And then there's more direction on how to live, which is why I love Colossians so much. It's a quick read, just a few chapters, and you get in so much information. It's just so good. But that very last section that we just read is the invitation to accept Christ, the invitation to believe. And it's something that you as moms have the absolute joy and privilege of offering that to your children at the right time when God puts it on your heart to really share with them what it is to believe in Jesus, what it is to love Jesus, what it is to follow Jesus, to have faith in Christ, why it's important, why they do make mistakes, why mommy and daddy make mistakes, how we all make mistakes, but how we can love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. It doesn't mean we're perfect, but it does mean we're forgiven, and it does mean we get to spend all of eternity with Christ. For you to share that with your kids is really, it's such a gift. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. And I know the days can seem sometimes a little mundane, and maybe it's not your thing, and maybe you feel like, oh, I wish I could escape out of this, but don't let that be the thing that tempts you away from your home, because you have your little disciple in that house, or your little disciples in your home. And you're building the kingdom of God right there, right in front of you. So let's not be discouraged in that thing. So back to Romans 5, verse 21. Back to reigning under grace, like Paul says. So, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That's verse 20. Verse 21, that as the sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The reign of grace, being under grace. It can seem complicated sometimes, and it can be a frustration if you want to live your life under grace, and yet no one in your household has gotten that memo. Okay, so if people are being hard on each other, if people are just kind of knocking each other around because they didn't get that message yet about grace, that's when you know to pray for your kids. That's when you know to pray for your husband or for yourself. If things are really actually hard, it probably has something to do with us not actually being reigned under grace. See, the law, and Paul talks about that, and many of you went through that last week. Paul talks about that. The law is good. That is the comfort that I had and still have in understanding why we do live in a country that does validate and see it as important that we have a justice system, why we have laws, why we have a speed limit, for instance, why when there's sidewalks on there are also not cars. It makes sense. It helps. And it's little things like that that you can talk to your kids about. If you're going for a walk and you're on the sidewalk and you see cars going by, if you're holding their hand or if you're riding a bike or if they're in a stroller or whatever, you can talk to them and say, isn't it great that that the people in the streets actually follow the rules and they stay in the streets? Oh my goodness. And my kids, when they were young, I used to walk on what was called the kill side. Brett used to go, "Why do you say that? It's going to give them nightmares." But it helped my kids a lot. It really did. If you have the street right here and you have a sidewalk right here, I stood next to the sidewalk and I said, "No, Mommy, I'll stand on the kill side." I wanted my kids to know that I'm going to be the one that's going to take the hit first. And my kids would stand over here. And what was so, so sweet was to watch Joey. This was like one of my favorite memories. When my kids were in the elementary age, they would walk to elementary school. So for a while, I had a first grader, third grader, fifth grader. And then it shifted. Brooke went off to junior high, and it was my second grader, fourth grader. And so I got to watch Joey walk Casey every day. And he, "Mom, I walked on the kill side, just so you know. I walked on the kill side." It was really sweet. You know, I mean, it was just super sweet. That was just a little thing that I thought, oh my goodness, what a cute, like he understood and took it seriously that he was going to be helping out his baby sister to live. And I took a picture. I remember when Joey was in the fifth grade and I took a picture as they were rounding the corner out of our cul-de-sac because it was getting close to the last day of that scene ever being happening again. And I'm so glad I got out my camera and took a picture of the two of them holding hands, walking to school, you know, and Joey on the kill side. It was cute. Joey's on the kill side. Teach your kids, though, what it is to have law and order. It's okay. There's a reason for it. It's a good, good, good thing, you know. It's good. But they're going to fail. They will fall short. And when they do, you can tell them, "You guys, you are forgiven." It doesn't mean we can't reel it in, and we do have to do the reset. We talked about the reset last week, the happy chat, you know. But let grace reign in your home. Let it reign in your home. And I'm telling you, if you have law and order in your home, it will help. The Apostle Paul talks about that. The law was good. The law is righteous. It leads to good things. The law is spiritual. It is we ourselves that are carnal. So that should give you great freedom to create the boundaries in your home and to you make the rules. I remember when my kids were little and I was in Judy's mom classes and it was like a light bulb went off. She said, "You all are the moms. You can determine where the line is. But wherever that line is, you make sure and hold that line." And it just was like so encouraging for me. I thought, what? I can actually make the rules and actually expect them to keep the rules? Are you kidding me? And it was just awesome because it made order out of chaos. And I loved my life in terms of the cause and effect that would take place with kids. If you would ask them to do something, oftentimes they wouldn't, but if you ask them enough with consequences, they very quickly would say, "Yes, I will obey." And through time, through months and years sometimes, what develops in that child is an awareness of their own carnality, an awareness that they are lost without a Savior. And that's right where you want them. Right where you want them. What did Jesus tell Peter? He said, "I'm going to make you fishers of men." Well, you all are fisherwomen. Okay, you're fishing. You're fishing for your kids' salvation. And it's really exciting. It's so good. And it's really, really the way to go with living. So now let's go to Romans chapter 12. Because now that we've kind of reviewed what's happening in terms of where we're at, the grace that we have been given, we're justified, we've been made righteous, we've just been given such a great gift with God. But now this next week is going to be how should you actually live? How do you actually live? So let's just hit Romans chapter 12 here real quick. And this Bible is my parallel Bible, so I have one half is the King James and the other half is the Living Bible. So I might go back and forth a little bit. So if I sound like I'm talking normal and then all of a sudden I sound like I'm Shakespeare, you'll know that that is why. So, but I'm going to start by reading from the Living Bible. It's just in verse 1. And so, dear brothers, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living sacrifice, holy, the kind he can accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but be a new and different person with a fresh newness in all you do and think. Then you will learn from your own experience how his ways will really satisfy you. In the King James, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies with a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then he goes on to say in verse 3, For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So right there in the first three little verses, we see some pretty huge things. And just, again, clicking back to what Colossians talked about, remembering the divinity of Christ, how he is the creator of all things, he has made our minds. And he has made our bodies, even though they're carnal, and he has given us a mind that can be renewed. And that's something that's really, really huge, I think, especially for us as moms every day, no matter where you are in the process of life, if you're a brand new mom, if you're an older mom, if you're a grandmother, you're still a mom if you're a grandmother, and we are appreciative that you're here because you're helping to strengthen the younger moms, helping them to be brave enough to hold the line, and we appreciate that. But no matter where we are, we really do have to work hard, I think at times, on renewing our mind. And we're really given that direction to do that and not be given to vain philosophy, going back to Colossians and that warning, and not be caught up in things and carried away as though we were in some battle to be taken away by the enemy. That's not who we are. And the thing that I think is so awesome is just the strength and power that we're given as women in God's word to be able to work on that. It's difficult. It's not easy. And teaching your kids that process is also not easy. If there is something that you're wrestling with that you need prayer about, I do ask that tonight you would find the Titus 2 women that have the name tags with their names on there, their pink, cute little name tags, and ask for prayer, ask for counsel, start working through that process of really coming to God with the things that you need to lay at his feet. Sometimes there might be an indicator that you do need to speak to a doctor, and that's fine. But I think it would be really cool if you would pray about it first so that you can have that direction and just know, you know what? Yes, I actually do need to talk to my doctor about this. Because sometimes just talking about it to a woman who can pray for you is enough to make that monster in your mind just get smaller and smaller. And it's part of that renewing the mind process. It's very, very important as women for us to, I think, turn to each other and to ask those questions and to be led by the Spirit to help do this process. It's a part of us presenting our bodies, which includes our brains, as a holy, living sacrifice acceptable to God. It's our reasonable service to do that. Then what Paul says in verse 4, For we, as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So in other words, we're not all supposed to be doing the same things. I'm just going to switch over to the living. It takes every one of us to make the body complete. For we each have different work to do, so we belong to each other, and each needs all others. God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, then prophesy whenever you can, so often as your faith is strong enough to receive a message from God. If your gift is that of serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, do a good job of teaching. If you are a preacher, see to it that your sermons are strong and helpful. If God has given you money, be generous in helping others with it. If God has given you administrative ability and put you in charge of the work of others, Take the responsibility seriously. Those who offer comfort to the sorrowing should do so with Christian cheer. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, stand on the side of the good. Love each other with brotherly affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. Be glad for all God is planning for you. Be patient in trouble and prayerful always. When God's children are in need, you be the one to help them out. And get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner, or if they need lodging, for the night. Just stopping right there, what a great attitude if all of our homes took on that attitude. If we can serve, serve. If we have administrative gifts, do it. It's just so cool as you're starting to unfold in the lives of your children what their giftings are. And maybe your kids are in that teenage year and they're sort of hyped up about, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? And some of you have had kids, including myself, who have gone to college, and there's an overwhelming anxiety right now with kids who go to college. First of all, because most of the time they have so much debt. I mean, the average amount of debt is almost $100,000 for kids who graduate from college these days. It is such a weight on these kids. And let me just give you a hot tip. They don't all have to go to college. Just want to break that ice. Not everyone's supposed to go to college. Some people could go to trade school and end up millionaires. Just want to say it, because it's the truth. We don't really value enough trade and small business. I love this chapter because it helps you as a mom to say, you know what? I can actually talk to my kids about what their gifts are and not about, again, winding back to what Colossians was saying. I don't have to have my kids get stuck in the peg of a pagan philosophy that says that they have to do a certain thing. They don't have to go to college. They don't have to absorb a huge amount of debt. They could actually have a gift entirely different than what the college setting would provide. Maybe they're amazing in sales. They don't necessarily have to go to college in order to do that. They can learn certain things quicker, sure. But if they've got connections and they're well-networked, seriously, are you actually going to try to say that they have to stop everything in order? It's just, we've got to think outside the box. And I think that this chapter is so amazing to help us with that. Because so many kids go to college, they spend a lot of money, and then they're still frustrated, and they don't really have a goal for what their life is going to look like. And this should help really free them up. So just moving on to a few more verses here. Be glad for all that God is planning for you. Be patient in trouble and prayerful always. When God's children are in need, you be the one to help them out. Remind your kids of that. We see it on the billboards. Be the solution. Be the change you want to see. All these philosophy things. It started in the Bible. I'm just saying. All that stuff. Those are just spins of what the truth is. All right? Right here it says, if you see someone in need, you be the one to help them out. And get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner or if they need lodging for the night. I love how we have watch parties and people have opened up their homes. Brett got the cutest video a couple weeks ago from this sweet couple from Australia, if you can believe it. And they literally were, g'day mate. It was the cutest thing. And the wife, the husband at first talked and he said how appreciative they were of Athey Creek and through all the closures, and many of you know that in some parts of Australia, it is so crazy in terms of their lockdown, and they found Athey Creek, and they have been so happy. So there's a watch party in one section of Australia and another watch party, and they're going to find each other eventually, and that's just all cool. So Brett randomly gets this video, and it was so cute because at the end, the wife said, and I even learned how to speak English. Tell you what. It was so cute. She still had a little Australian accent, but to tell you what. It was so cute. Anyway, lodging and having people over looks differently right now than maybe what it did 2 years ago. But it's so incredibly sweet to see how the creativity of the body of Christ has met so many. and even clear over to Australia and clear over to parts of Europe that we, as a group in England that has also been watching. And there's just many, many, many people who are really hungry for the Word of God. And that hospitality that people share within these walls and outside of these walls is just, it's beautiful. So I know I read the verse twice. I'm not going crazy yet. So I just wanted to emphasize that actually. So if someone mistreats you because you are a Christian, don't curse him. That's huge to teach your kids that. Pray that God will bless him. Boy, how many times has that been a challenge in your own life? The man who I brought up in the beginning, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, was definitely cursed for being a Christian. What will the cost be for us? What will that cost be to stand up for Christ? It's just a thought. When others are happy, be happy with them. If they are sad, share their sorrow. We have people in our Mom Time group who have lost loved ones this last week. One of my sweet, 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 sweet friends, Katie, her daddy passed away. And so she's with her mama tonight. So pray for them, you know? And Katie said that her daddy was the best daddy, just the best daddy, and paid such a beautiful tribute to him on her Instagram post. And it's just beautiful, you know? And at the end, she said, "Oh, my daddy would tell me not to say any of these things. He would tell me to tell everyone the most important thing, Katie, is that you know Jesus. That is the most important thing. Tell everyone that. Tell everybody to know Jesus." So Katie doesn't have a microphone to say that, but I do. And so I'm going to tell you, it matters. The way you live your life matters. To that sweet girl, the way her daddy lived his life mattered. It mattered. It made a huge difference to her. An impression was made on her mind. So she's sad, but she glories because she'll see her daddy again. She has that hope. We all have that beautiful hope. Speaking of dads, this book that I told you I was reading is a biography that was written by I said earlier, Eric Metaxas. My dad gave me that book about 10 years ago, maybe longer, maybe 12, with a whole stack of books that he had read. And he gave this to me and he said, "This is a good book, you should read it." Now my dad, very, very staunch conservative, very, 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 very involved in the Republican Party, would be furious if his mind was with him enough now to understand that we have so many positions right now where Republicans aren't even running in Oregon. It's actually infuriating. And I know that we're not here to talk about that, but I just have to mention it to honor my dad. Because he believed in us as citizens that we could actually handle, you know, taking office and managing government and getting government out of our lives when it's too much. And he handed me this book because it was very important to him for me to understand the direction that our country was headed. Well, I put that book down and I didn't read it because I was busy raising my babies. And I just started reading this book just not very long ago, a couple weeks ago. And my dad has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's about 3 years ago. The diagnosis was given to him, so we have seen just this decline happen, you know. And man, I look forward to the day when I will be able, and it will, if there is a day of clarity here on this side of earth, that would be sweet, but I doubt that that will happen. It will be more or less like, "Oh, Dad, here's our friend Dietrich." You know, my dad introduced me to a friend who I didn't meet until years later. And I will not meet him until heaven, because Dietrich Bonhoeffer is in heaven. And my dad's mind is headed there fast. And his body is wasting away. It is just what happens with life. but he's doing well, and he's happy. Happier than he's been in a long time, actually, I think. You know, he's with family, living with family. So I'm a little bit talking about daddies tonight, even though this is a mom time. But I think it's just really important, the impressions that we make as parents to our children and how that imprints onto them. Every single day, like Paul says, dedicate your life, dedicate your body, dedicate your mind to God. It's an act of service. It's a reasonable thing for you to be able to do that. And it is the highest calling that you can have as a mom. So moving on to the next verse. I love this next verse in the Living. It's just, the Living Bible cracks me up sometimes. Work happily together. Don't try to act big. Which in the King James, it's mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. I just love it. Try not to act big. Don't try to get in the good graces of important people, but enjoy the company of ordinary folks. And don't think you know it all, exclamation point. I love the Living for that. Don't think you know it all. But you know, you can communicate that to a five-year-old. You can communicate that to a four-year-old or a three-year-old or even a two-year-old. As soon as they've got over, my breakpoint's 20 words. As soon as they're 20 words, man, you start reading the Bible to them and start making sure they understand it because they get it, all right? People become fluent in that many years. In verse 17, never pay back evil for evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honest clear through. Don't quarrel with anyone. Be at peace with everyone. Just as much as possible. I just love that the Apostle Paul, in a very encouraging way, and in a way that makes it easy for moms to give a lot of grace to your siblings, Paul says, as much as possible, get along with everyone. Frankly, it means you will not be able to get along with everyone all the time. It's just the freedom that we have as Christians. We are going to think different than other people sometimes. We're going to think so differently that you will actually not be able to get along with them. But Paul says, as much as possible, try. As much as possible. And then move on. He may have maybe even been thinking about Peter when he was saying that. Because I kind of feel like those guys did not see eye to eye a lot. You know, one was pushing circumcision, one was saying it didn't matter. There's a huge discrepancy between those two things right there, okay? I think maybe he was maybe thinking about Peter when he wrote that. As much as possible. Dear friends, never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God, for he has said that he will repay those who deserve it. Don't take the law into your own hands. Instead, feed your enemy if he is hungry. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, as you will be heaping coals of fire on his head. In other words, he will feel ashamed of himself for what he has done to you. Don't let evil get the upper hand, but conquer evil by doing good. Now you might say, so Debbie, what you just read to us is about the most opposite of what Dietrich Bonhoeffer planned to do, which was to murder a complete tyrant. And I would have to say, you're right. But I did not live in Dietrich's body, and I did not have his mind. And I was not around his community or his groups. But I do know what the word says. To not avenge. And we've seen a lot of vengeance in our society in the past couple of years from very, very, very angry people who took the law into their own hands. And the reason why I mention the fact that we have these open positions that no one is running for is because that is how our society operates. We have a mode in which to try, at least try, to make things better. And we'll fail because we're carnal. But at least we live in a country where we have that opportunity. I cannot say that for Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who had Hitler for a leader. We're so fortunate in our country. So this coming week, as you fly through these next chapters, there'll be several days where you'll just be kind of going right through. But it's just a 5-day week, and then we're finished. Be encouraged and be blessed. Just that the Lord has a plan for us. He has us on this journey, this Romans Road journey for this 5 weeks, but really the journey of life. The Lord Jesus loves us. We are messed up sinners. We every day wake up and we can say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Or we can wake up and say, how am I going to mess it up? And it could be a combination of both. And if it is, that's okay too. Because the Lord loves us so much. He died on our behalf. Nothing we can do fixes ourselves. It is completely and utterly the justification done by Christ on the cross that we by faith take. We believe that, we receive that, and we reign in grace. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for the guidance of your word. I thank you for the beauty that you have given us in these various translations offered to us through our phones even now, Lord. We're so thankful. Thank you, Lord, that you can give us the way to translate to our children in a way that they'll understand. And I pray for each mom here. Help that mom to translate your word to them, to their own little kids, to their teenagers, to their college-age kids, to the married ones, Lord. Keep your word right on our hearts and in our minds. We also ask that we would make that choice, Lord, to grab onto your word and to hold it to our mind and allow us, Lord, to every day wake up renewing our mind in you. Help us to do that, Lord. We thank you so much that your word cleanses us and washes us and revitalizes us and renews us, Lord. I thank you for the rest of this night, for the fellowship and prayer. I thank you for our time together. We do pray for the body of believers that are all over the world, Lord, that are tuning into Athey Creek and tuning into other churches, Lord, that are going through your word. Lord, I thank you for the hunger that we have as Christians and that only you really can satisfy us. And so we're thankful for that, Lord, true, true soul food that you give us in your word. So help us to eat it well. And we pray for the rest of the evening that you would bless it. In Jesus' name. Amen.